O holy night, O night divine. Baby Jesus on the loose. Amen. Saints praying. Amen. Amen. We love them all. Is that time of year when we want to share the Christmas story, the greatest story ever told? It's a sacred scripture to us. I have so many fond memories over the Christmas story for many reasons. One of those is because when I was in junior high, I had a teacher who made us memorize Luke chapter 2 and made us memorize the Christmas story. If any of you know Miss Benita Hunter, maybe had her in school, I got the privilege of having her two times in a row because we had too many kids in our class, or too many kids in one of the class, so we had her for 7th grade and 8th grade. And if you know anything about Miss Benita Hunter, she liked to make you memorize a poem every week. We memorized the Gettysburg Address, and she made us stand up in front of the class and recite that every week. The Gettysburg Address. We learned scriptures out of the Bible. We learned the Christmas story. We learned stopping by fields on a snowy evening. Robert Frost, daffodils, different poems that she made us memorize. Anybody else have Benita Hunter and had to memorize the stuff in her class? And so I'm thankful for that. So as a young child, I knew that story, but of course it was always a part of our life growing up. We did not do Santa in our house. We did the Christmas story. And my dad, you didn't open a present in our house until Dad read the Christmas story, and we prayed, and then most of the time we had to go around and say what we were thankful for or, you know, something throughout the year. And so it's always been an integral part of who we are and who we, you know, what we celebrate at Christmas and all of that. And so I'm thankful for that tradition and thankful for that honor. And so we want to share the Christmas story today, but I've asked Georgia to come and read a couple of the scripture readings for us before we do the actual story.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Thank you, Georgia. I want to start with a scripture out of Micah. Chapter 4 first, and then we're going to jump on over into the Christmas story. And as always, Dr. Howes, if you have anything you want to jump in and share, please do. We have been talking over this course of time about in due season, the fullness of time. Out of Galatians chapter 4, when the writer writes and says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the law, and that we could become sons, and not only sons, that we could become heirs and joint heirs with the Father. How many know the fullness of time has come? Yeah. The fullness of time, at the exact moment, at the exact time, in the season of God's goodness, in the season that he spoke of. And we said that when Isaiah prophesied the scriptures that Georgia just read to you, there were 700 years before the fulfillment of that time. Fullness of time. Yeah. I mean, no, from the preaching of Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi, there is 400 years of silence before we hear John the Baptist come preaching on the scene and God begins to speak. It's what they call the dark season. Talk about silent nights, right? A silent time, a time of silence. And God breaks his silence when he comes to Zechariah and begins to declare to him that your prayers have been answered. Yeah. And God's going to give you a son, and he's going to prepare the way of the Lord. How many know in Zechariah and Elizabeth's timing, God was too late? Amen? Seemed like God was too late. However, to Mary and Joseph, it would seem like God was too early or too soon. Somebody say fullness of time. There are many times that we look at the season that we're in and we think, well, God is surely left me, or God has not remembered me, or God has not fulfilled his promise to me. Amen? But yet in his timing, in the fullness of time. And so in Micah it says, "And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem." Remember the tower of the flock. But in Micah 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." I want to ask everyone, if you would, please stand with me as we read Luke chapter 2 and read the Christmas story. You're welcome to read along with us as we share this story. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told him. You may be seated at the reading of the word. When I thought about the scripture and thought about, you know, the Christmas story, it wasn't a whole lot different, maybe in some ways, than where we are right now. How many know the world was in turmoil when this was taking place? It was in chaos. It was a taxing time. People were taxed. Somebody say taxed to the max. It was a taxing time. It was a time that was taxing and challenging, and the town was crowded, and travel was hard, and Mary was 9 months pregnant, and somebody forgot to make motel reservations. And gas was $4 a gallon, he said. But I don't think we rode, you know, we talk about a lot of times how they got there. I was looking into it. It doesn't really say that Mary rode a donkey. It's quite possible that they walked. But it took about 4 days to make this journey to Bethlehem. How many of you ladies would like to walk or ride a donkey for 4 days to get to Bethlehem at 9 months pregnant? Nobody. No takers on that one. I mean, no, it was challenging at best. But the scripture says that, and as I was looking at this and studying this yesterday, and I don't want to keep you long today because I know our children are with us, and I know that they get antsy, but we were thinking about the story of the wise men. The scripture said, you know, when the angel Gabriel came and he began to speak to all of those in the story, the first thing that he says to them is, fear not. How many know fear will do a whole lot of things to you? It'll keep you from following your dreams. It'll keep you from being obedient to the call of God in your life. It'll keep you confined and keep you afraid to step out into something new. How many know most of the reason that we don't do something big or something greater in our life is because we're limited by fear. Fear of what? Fear of failure? Fear of financial trouble, fear that it won't work out, fear of embarrassment, fear of the unknown, fear. And when God begins to come to when he comes to Joseph and he starts to say to him, Joseph, fear not to take Mary as your wife, for this thing that is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The first thing he says to him is, fear not. Don't be afraid, for the very thing that you want to put away is the very thing that's going to save you. The very thing you want to distance yourself from is the very thing that's going to save you. The very thing that is the unknown to you, the very thing that makes you fearful, is the very thing that's going to take you to your destiny of what God desires in your life. How many know Joseph could have missed an opportunity because of fear? He said, don't distance yourself from what I'm doing here, because what I'm doing is of the Holy Ghost. How many are ready for some Holy Ghost encounters? How many are ready for the move of the Holy Spirit to begin to speak and move on our behalf and begin to bring into place those things that God desired in his time and in his season? Amen. And so he said, don't be afraid of it, because it's a Holy Ghost thing. When Mary and Elizabeth come together, how many know it's a Holy Ghost thing? There's something in the power of the salutation that when Mary walks up to the house of Elizabeth and says, Elizabeth, and something happens inside of Elizabeth to the point that her baby leaps in her womb, and she said, behold the mother of my Lord, how blessed I am that you have come to me, and at the sound of your voice, you caused my baby to leap. And the scripture says that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and so was John the Baptist. How many know that's a Holy Ghost party? That's a Holy Ghost party. How many know when we come together in the house, at the sound of the salutation of the word or the scripture speaks for itself. It ought to cause your baby to leap. It ought to cause something inside of you to stir and say, God, what are you working in me? What is your desire? Where are you bringing me to? What do you want to do in this season? Hallelujah. How many know when Mary and Elizabeth go into Bethlehem, the scripture said there was no room for them in the inn. I mean, no, God never intended for Mary and Joseph to stay in the inn. That's not a coincidence. And said that while they were there, that the time was to be delivered, that Mary should be delivered. Talk about bad timing, right? God, you really want me to go to Bethlehem? 9 months pregnant, no place to stay, and all of those things that would seem like, where is God in all of this? Ever been there? Ever thought about that? God, what in the world? But yet God begins to start putting things into place. How many know not everybody was invited to Mary's baby shower? Not everybody was invited to Mary's baby shower. The shepherds were. The animals that had been used for sacrifices for generations and generations were there. The heavenly host was there. Mary and Joseph were there. I mean, when God starts to do something in your life, it might not be with the in crowd. It might not be with the in crowd. Not everybody is invited to be a part of what God is doing in this season, in you. And how many know sometimes you got to distinguish between the two? I believe that Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months because she's still trying to grasp the promise of God and still trying to believe that she really was with child. Because up to 5 months, you might not know for sure, right? It's about 5 months when you start to feel that move of the baby and you start to feel the flutter and you're not sure if you've got gas or if the baby's moving, right? Is it an air bubble or is the baby moving, right? But when she comes to that 6 month and all of a sudden at the sound of the salutation of Mary and that baby leaps, you're not going to talk me out of it now and you're not going to talk me out of my promise. Because now I felt something inside of me move. I want to tell you, that's what the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, Miss Arlene said to us already, make room for him. When we make room as a habitation for him, I mean, you know, he causes a stirring from the inside out. And when it causes your baby to leap and causes you to come alive from the inside out, nobody's going to talk you out of your promise. Amen. You might have convinced me up to this point that I was a crazy old woman. But now I've felt something. I've experienced something. I've encountered the Holy Ghost. So go ahead and call me crazy if you want to. Call me barren if you want to. Call me whatever you want to call me. But I'm about to bring forth the greatest prophet born of woman. That's what the scripture says. Hallelujah. And so when something begins to stir inside of you, a passion. Hallelujah. Not everybody's going to be involved in that. What they had to do was get ready for some outside of the box, outside of the inn encounters. While everybody else was in the inn, how many know Jesus and Mary and Joseph were at the manger? And this is a powerful thought, and I want to just share this a little bit with you today. Three times the scripture tells us you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. It calls it a manger three times. And he said, the scripture says that the shepherds are in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel once again said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Somebody say, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, they say that these shepherds are not just ordinary shepherd in the field. They are the shepherd who are keeping watch over the temple sacrificial sheep. The sheep that would be used in the sacrifice of the temple. There was a daily sacrifice. There was yearly sacrifices. But there had to be a lamb, what? Perfect, without spot or blemish, no defects. It had to be a male lamb. It had to be a perfect lamb. We just read the scripture. He was wounded. He was bruised for our transgression. We talked about the lamb in the house. And so on that hill that night, there were shepherds who were keeping the very sheep that was going to be used in the temple sacrifice for the remission of the sins. How many are glad you didn't have to bring a woolly lamb today?
Amen.
Amen. But there was a place called the manger. And the name of this place is what is thought to be, and you can go back and research this and look it up for yourself, it's called Migdal-Adar. It's called the Tower of the Flock. We read it out of Micah, and you, O Tower of the Flock, another name for it is Migdal-Adar, and it's called the manger. The tower was used for the shepherds who would stand guard over the sheep, and they would watch to make sure that there were no thieves, there were no predators, there was nothing that would come and that would harm the sheep, that they were keeping watch over the flock by night. So when the angel came to them and said, go to the manger, they knew exactly where to go, because a manger in the tower of the flock is the place where the baby lambs were born. And when they were born, they would wrap them in swaddling bands and lay them in a manger. And the purpose of the bands that they would wrap them with was to keep the little woolly lambs from flailing and kicking around when they were born and injuring themselves. Thus, they would not be fit for sacrifice. So it was the birthplace of the lambs. It was the birthplace of the sacrificial lambs that the shepherds would watch over them, and they would watch them be born, and they would wrap them and protect them, and they would swaddle them so that they would be perfect sacrifice for in the temple. So when the shepherd says to the angels, go to the manger, because like we always think about this and we look at that little wooden thing that was up there, and they said probably it wasn't wooden. It was probably a piece of rock that was hewn out. It's a piece of rock that was hewn out. And the manger was something that shepherds would have known what it was, because we think about it. So you will find him swaddling clothes laying in a manger. What manger? What stable? What place? I mean, in Bethlehem, there would have been a whole lot of feeding troughs. There would have been a whole lot of stables. There would have been a whole lot of places they could have gone. They said, no, go find this baby in the manger. You're going to find him in the birthplace where the lambs of sacrifice are born. He'll be wrapped in swaddling bands, lying in a manger. And the scripture said, and they came with haste, said, let us now go even unto the place of the birthplace of the sacrificial lambs. Let us now go even unto that place and see that thing which Jesus is about to do. And said, and they came with haste, and they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And the scripture said, and this is the part that caught my mind, and scripture says, and they returned, and the shepherds returned to their flock, and declared unto them everything they had heard in the heavens and everything they had seen in the earth, of everything that God declared and was about to do in this season. What I want to say to you today, I believe it is a time of shepherds returning to their flock and flocks returning to that place of shepherding. Amen. Because I believe God's desire is that the message and the proclamation of this time and season is there is a lamb of sacrifice. That when John walked up and Jesus walked up on the shore to John, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, that he knew exactly who he was talking to. How many know they'd already had a Holy Ghost encounter at the salutation of Mary? So I believe when they got together, there was some kind of deep that calls unto deep. There's some kind of connection that said, we've been together before. How many know when you come together with people that are spirit-filled, there ought to be some kind of connection that says, I understand the power of the Holy Ghost. I understand the power of salutation. I understand the power of what you say out of your voice. I understand the power of what's being declared in the heavens. Because when he began to baptize Jesus and take him down into the water, the scripture said that the heavens opened and the Spirit descended on him like a dove. How many know the Holy Ghost fell when they came together? When Elizabeth and Mary came together, how many know the babe leaped? But when John and Jesus came together, the heavens opened. And he said, "This is my beloved son." How many know he had the approval of his father to do everything that he had desired and prophesied and declared that he would do in due season? In the fullness of time, at the appointed time. Hallelujah. And it said the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God and declaring and speaking everything that they had heard and seen. Migdal Adar was the tower of the flock. It was a manger, was the place where the sacrificial lambs were birthed and swaddled with bands so as not to blemish them in the birthing process. The tower itself was used to watch the flock and protect it against the thieves and predators. It's also the place where Jacob moved his flock after the death of Rachel. David was anointed in Bethlehem. The house and lineage of David. And they were used for the daily sacrifice of the Passover lamb for Israel and for the high priest. I thought about the scripture last night out of Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." The very first people that Jesus, when the birth of Jesus had taken place, and God began to announce to the world what he had done, the very first people that he talks to is shepherds, abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. "Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, 'Fear not.'" And I believe that's the message from shepherds to shepherds, from shepherds in this season. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
I love that part of the song about Mary that says, "This child that you delivered will soon deliver you."
Yep. Amen. The child that you delivered would soon deliver. Joseph, fear not to take unto you Mary, for this thing that's been conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And my desire in this season is that the power of the Holy Ghost shall overshadow our hearts, that our alignment with what God wants to do in our lives. How many know it did? It took Mary and Elizabeth working together. It took Mary and Joseph working together. It took Zechariah and Elizabeth working together. Hallelujah. So that when they brought the baby back to the temple to dedicate it, and Zechariah had been silent for 9 months and unable to speak, the scripture says, and I love it when God leaves you speechless. Amen. When God does something so powerful that it leaves you speechless and unable to speak until what you declare and open and say in this next season is all about grace. They said, "His name, what's his name going to be?" And she said, "His name is John." And they said, "But you don't have anybody in your family named John." I said, "Because we're not naming after the family. We're not naming him Zechariah Jr. because he was born for such a time as this. We're going to name him John because the name John means grace. And God is about to release his unfathomable grace in this season. If we ever comprehend the power of his amazing grace in this season, hallelujah, the unfathomable grace and the power of God to touch and to do miracles and do the impossible in this season. I thought maybe she's going to prophesy or something, but she showed me her gift. And so I want us to just think about in this season what God is speaking, because I believe things have not shifted and we've not passed through this way without God. See, God doesn't bring things on us, but he doesn't waste us. And although we think that it seems like it's a bad time, God is shifting things, moving things, putting things in place. Get ready. I want to tell you, get ready. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people today. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Peace and goodwill toward men. Hallelujah. Peace. How many of you are ready for some peace and goodwill to all men? Hallelujah. Peace to families. Peace to finances. Peace to our bodies, to our mind. Hallelujah. That we have his perfect peace, that our mind is stayed upon him, and that our thoughts are on him and our focus is on him in a taxing season. Amen. And then I just declare that it's a time for shepherds to return to the flock, preaching a message of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And a flock that returns to hear the word of reconciliation, restoration, and the work of the finished work of the cross. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything you want to add this morning? Amen. Let's stand this morning. And Mary pondered all these things in her heart. Hallelujah. I pray that God stirs our desire, stirs our passion for what's ahead. Amen. It may not be like it used to be, but it'll be good. Amen. It'll be his purpose in our life. As Beth gets ready to sing, I just want to take a time of reflection this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you cannot receive a greater gift this Christmas season. There is no greater gift than his eternal life, his hope, his peace. If you're here today and you don't have peace, and you just need God's touch, you just need God to move, you need something from God today, we open the front. You're welcome to come down. We would love to pray over you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you want to receive the Holy Ghost, I highly recommend it. Amen. The Holy Ghost is a gift for you. And God moves. In him I live and move and have my very being. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.